I was thinking about Chippy this morning. Have I told you about Chippy? He lives in Galveston, Texas. And Chippy loves to sing. Chippy's a parakeet. One day his owner was cleaning the house and vacuuming and thought she would just vacuum the bottom of Chippy's cage. And so she took the hose and was cleaning out the bottom of the cage when the phone rang. So she went to reach for her phone and... Yes, Chippy is suddenly gone. Chippy was singing and enjoying life when suddenly he was sucked down a dark, black, dirty hole. Well, the owner panicked, immediately turned the vacuum cleaner off, opened it up, and opened up the vacuum bag, and sure enough, there's Chippy all covered with all kind of junk. Well, she panics again, she grabs Chippy, she runs in the bathroom, turns on the hot water to clean Chippy off. Then she realizes how wet she's made Chippy, and so she grabs the hairdryer to dry him off. A few days after that, somebody asked her, "How's Chippy doing?" "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just kind of sits there and stares." Anybody relate to Chippy? Anybody going through some Chippy moments right now? And, you know, Thanksgiving just really doesn't make it. In fact, it makes it worse. Welcome to John chapter 11. We're in a series called Come and See because Jesus invites us to come and see who he really is, what he's really like. And here at Vaughn Park, we practice SOAP. We find out what our scripture is, and then we spend a lot of time here trying to observe what it is that God is saying through all this. And then at the end of our lesson, we'll spend some time in application and prayer of what we're looking at. And today, we're taking one chapter at a time. We're in John chapter 11, and I say that, and then next week, we'll also be in John chapter 11. We just decided with Thanksgiving and everything, we would take kind of 2 weeks to look at it. And so next week we'll be in John 11 as well. And I've titled today's lesson, God Cares. Now, if there's one verse I'd like for you to remember as we go through this, it's verse 25, when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." The story tells us about Jesus and some of his close friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Those are brothers and sisters. And Lazarus has become sick, apparently extremely sick. And so they've sent word to Jesus, "Your friend is sick." So here's what happens as we pick up the story in verse 5. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, don't you love the construction of that sentence? I mean, you know, what's next? So although Jesus loved them, "You look really good this morning, except," and what are you going to walk away remembering? The exception. "Tim, you did a really good job this morning, but," what do you remember? This is kind of that one of those things. So, although he loved them, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Jesus received word, special friends, he loved them very much, it's mentioned twice in the text. Lazarus isn't doing well, and what does Jesus do? Nothing. He does nothing. Does he care? I mean, really. Does he really care when this is going on and absolutely nothing happens from it? And some of you are relating to this story so quickly. This is going on in my life and I'm not seeing anything happen from God. Now, I realize that some of you know the end of the story. You realize it's, well, you know the end of the story. But even with that, do you realize that Jesus deliberately allows them to suffer for these days? Does he care? And if we were to stop things right now, you would think that the answer is no. In fact, it's obvious he doesn't, because he does nothing. Are you with me? Some of you deeply so. And again, Jesus says, just come and see. Say, I know what I see. But sometimes it's what you don't see. Because he knows. He knows more than you do. You see, as we progress through this story, it's kind of like Jesus is backstage, you know? You're seeing what's going on here. He's backstage knowing what happens next. He knows what's about to happen next. And so he knows. Now, again, some of you know the end of the story. So it's kind of like, yeah, but you know, just wait. just wait. You're gonna see this is gonna be really good. So you kind of smile at this point in the story because you know too. But in your life story, you don't know that. You're not smiling because you know he knows. You're weeping because, well, this is all you know. So he deliberately waits. In fact, he waits long enough that Lazarus is no longer sick. He's dead. He died. Then Jesus decides to go. A little late, God. So as Jesus comes, here comes Martha, one of the sisters. And she runs out to Jesus, and first thing records, she says, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, ironically, when we get to the next part, the other sister, Mary, when she talks to Jesus, she says the exact same thing. What does that imply? Oh, they've been talking. They've been talking, haven't they? Where's Jesus? We sent for him. You know, we sent for him long enough that he should be here by now. Where is God? Doesn't he care? If you'd have been here, if you'd have just done something, can you just even begin to imagine how often they looked out the door, looked out the window, watching down the road, waiting to see, because they know Jesus is coming. I mean, he's helped all kinds of strangers, and this is a friend. This is someone he loves, so obviously he's going to come, so they keep looking and looking. They never see him. Lazarus dies, and he doesn't even seem to show up for the funeral. Lord, isn't that an interesting term? Lord, the one who is in charge? If you would have. And how do you fill it in your life story? Lord, if you would have, then this would not be happening. Why didn't Jesus help? Why isn't God helping? Why is God not here? Where is he? Now, it is ironic that our human perspective is that God is only here if things are going well. God is only here if everything is going the way, well, I would like for them to go. And so if God is not doing what I think, what is so obvious should be done, then God must not be here. Now Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. You understand that? What's he mean by that? What does Martha think when she hears that? But one thing that Jesus is asserting here, he's assuring her, I'm in control. I am in control. Now, come on, we just honestly want to shake our head. And it's like, obviously not, right? When you look at what's going on in your life, and you look at the problems, you look at the struggles, and man, you could even share them with us, and like, you know, if I would share these things, you would know, and you would feel sorry for me, and you would even want to help out, but God? I think Jesus from the very beginning is asserting, I am in control. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. I am the resurrection and the life. What's that mean to you? Because anyone who believes, again, he's not talking about I believe in the existence of God type of belief. I really believe he is Lord. I believe he who believes in me will live even after fill in your problem. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Isn't that interesting he asked her that question? I mean, if you look at some of the statements of Martha in John chapter 11, her theological understanding is pretty amazing. She probably understands more than most people at this time. But Jesus is going to ask you, do you believe? Again, not just in existence. Do you believe he's in control? And that's not going to be easy because of what you are seeing and what you are experiencing. So Jesus has this conversation with Martha that we just read, and he's talking to Martha face to face. They're having this discussion back and forth. Now, at one point, Martha's going to head back and going to talk to her sister Mary and said, you know, hey, Jesus wants to talk to you. Now, when Mary comes, she says the same thing, but it's a whole different, well, it starts with Mary at his feet. And ironically, every time you read about this Mary, she is at the feet of Jesus. It starts out when she's sitting and just simply learning. And now she's at his feet bringing her grief. And then 2 weeks from today, we'll look at the next time she's at the feet of Jesus. So Martha's to his face, Mary's at his feet. With Martha, she's having this theological discussion, this intellectual discussion about resurrection and life. With Mary, it's just an emotional discussion. Not completely, not wholly, but there's a much more emphasis on the emotion. And so if we can take one box here this morning, are you understanding the theological significance of Jesus is the resurrection, and he is Zoe. He is life. Do you understand that theologically? Because we're done with that today, in a sense. And now we're going to move to Mary. And I think this is one of the most powerful lessons of John chapter 11, is diving into the emotional aspects of Jesus. When Jesus saw her, this is Mary, weeping, and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. And he said to Mary and Martha, if you have one more question to me, if you have one more doubt, you are going to hell. Ooh, didn't see that one coming, did you? Well, because it's not in there. That's not what he says. When he looks at their doubt and their questioning, you know, the only time you hear about what I just said, if you just keep acting like that, you're going to hell, is in your mind, not in Scripture. Because Jesus invites your questions. He invites your doubts. Come and see. Let's deal with those questions. Let's deal with those doubts. So that's not the type of anger that we're dealing with here. I mean, this is so intriguing, and we don't have time to dive too deep into the anger aspect here. But he's not angry at Mary. He's not angry at Martha. He doesn't seem to be angry at anybody right now. It really seems that he's angry with death, the consequences of sin. I think he's angry at hurt. He's angry at pain. He's just emotional at seeing what is happening in our world today that we would say absolutely stinks. And so he's deeply troubled. And when he sees, he weeps. Don't you love that verse? Or have you ever gotten past those of you who grew up in Bible school, and you were required to memorize a verse of Scripture for next Sunday? John 11:35, right here. I got it. It's the shortest verse in Scripture. Jesus wept. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. John 11:35. I got it. Have you really thought about what it means? How often do you picture God crying? Now this comes to too many people's mind. The angry God, the judgmental God, the I'll get you God. Let me write that down. I'm going to bring that up against you someday. Have you ever just kind of stopped and tried to contemplate a weeping God? And why is he crying? Let me go back. When Jesus saw Mary crying, and when he saw the other people cry, deep emotions stirred within him, and he cried. Just like he cried when he first heard that Lazarus was sick? No. Didn't really even seem to be emotionally affected, because he knows what's next. Folks, if this is me, this would be written so differently. And one of many reasons why you're glad I'm not God. But it's like, oh my goodness, this is so good. You know, they're all down here crying. It's like, oh, yeah, I can't wait. I just can't wait. You're gonna love the end of this story. And man, it's just a shame. Most of you know the end of the story. Because, man, what a shock, what a surprise, how awesome this is. This is going to be so good. If you can just hang on just a moment, you're going to see this, and it's all going to be not just better, it's going to be so awesome. It's going to be, are you ready? Wow. Yeah, it's going to be that good. That's me, because I know what's next. I know the surprise. And I just absolutely love this about God. Why is he crying? Because he sees them hurting. He sees them hurting, and tears come down his face because you are in pain. Can you just stop and just try to picture that for just a moment? And then, you know, there's always people around, so, but some said this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Man, well, they're missing something, aren't they? They're really missing something. And man, that just describes me so much. I'm missing it. And as I was reading through this time, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. He's deeply moved at their tears. He weeps. They're heading to the place of death. And he's deeply moved again. Why this time? And I was just kind of curious, had death ever bothered him before? Had death ever bothered him before? We get this story in Luke where he stops a funeral procession and says, no, this isn't good. And he brings the guy back to life. This is shortly before his own death. Is that what bothers him? Is it still the pain and suffering and the people that he sees? Is he deeply moved because Lazarus? And a lot of people have asked this question. Did Lazarus really want to come back? I mean, really? Does he really want to come back to this world? So we don't really exactly know the cause of this time. But we do know our difficulties troubles his spirit, and our pain summons his tears. You know, there was just that one lesson I'd love for you to walk away with today. It's the picture of a tear coming down the cheek of Jesus. Because he's thinking about what you're thinking about right now. He's looking at what you're going through, and he doesn't like it. It hurts him enough to shed a tear. Does this not blow us away about who our God is? He's a God with power to create the world. He's a God of power, the resurrection. But he's also the God that's got such a big heart that he weeps with you. Now, in a sense, my observation lessons end here today. But I don't want to leave Lazarus dead through Thanksgiving, okay? So ruin the story. Jesus is going to bring him back to life, all right? And it's going to be really cool. But that's what we're going to talk about next Sunday, all right? It's going to be okay. But today, I just want us to see the heart of Jesus. And so here's just some thoughts, some application thoughts. God will break your heart to save your soul. Man, I still, every time I read Mary and Martha, they sent word, hey, Lazarus is sick, and hey, we need you. And Jesus kind of hangs out for a couple more days. It's like, oh, the hurt and the pain that those two ladies had to go through. And again, we'll talk more about why that was necessary next week. And that's amazing, too. But you see, God is willing to break your heart. Because, folks, sometimes that's what we need. And there's a lot of us that, you know, those few days that God seems to be missing, we're going to step in and we're going to try to fix that ourselves. Because we just don't like the hurt and the pain. But God is willing to break your heart if that's what you need. But God desires to bring life from death. See, it's not just Lazarus. You see, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whatever it is, and so many of you have experienced this, there's a death. Now, I don't mean a physical death in your life. I'm talking about the death of something. And you've watched how Jesus has brought life to that. In fact, all of you who have put on Christ through baptism has experienced that, because what this is it's a death and then a burial. But God brings life from that. Number three, I just thought he brings dignity to my grief. He brings freedom to my emotions. You know, if God can cry, I think I can too. And if God can share tears, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But that doesn't mean I don't cry sometimes. It doesn't mean that I don't hurt sometimes. And as Tony said, you know, through those times, I can still have a joy, but it's not a woo kind of joy all the time. That's okay. Number four, my tears induce God's. Next time tears come down your face, I hope you'll think about God. And I hope you realize that he's crying with you. Number five, both sisters says, Lord, if you'd have been there. Well, he was there. And he was weeping with them. He was there, shedding tears. I want to ask you this question. Where are you in the story? Where are you in the story? Are you clear back in the beginning when you've just gotten the news that's just so horrible and it's not looking good and it's getting worse and looks terrible and so you're crying out to God? Or maybe the story of your life right now is that part where you've been crying out to God and you're not getting any answers. It's not being fixed. It's not being healed. It's not going away. It's not any better. Or maybe you're in the part of the story where you're first feeling, sensing, knowing that God is saying something. But honestly, it just doesn't feel like it's enough. Or maybe you're in the part of the story where you're just simply weeping, and God is weeping with you. And then there's some of you that's in the story that we haven't touched on yet. You've just experienced, in a sense, a resurrection. You've just experienced an answered prayer. You've just experienced the good stuff, and it is awesome, and you're rejoicing. Or maybe you're even one step past that we haven't talked about yet, but you're beginning to see how God used that for something unbelievable. So those are some of my applications that I came up with. This just one day when I was going through this and got to the prayer. This is just one of my prayers from the week. Father, I just want to focus on your love and care for me. Just hold me. I think there are just times that you just need to feel and sense and know that God just cares. I don't have the answers. I've got problems, but I just want to know that God is there. So this week, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, oh my goodness, do we have something to be thankful for. Of all the things you're going to list, of all the things that you have, would you include, God cares about me, in your Thanksgiving list? How much he cares enough to help in his time, but enough to weep when you're weeping. Let's pray. God, I hurt. And I want to know that you care. And Father, I want lifted up. I want prayers answered. I want life to be good and great. But Father, no matter what, you're there and you care. Father, convict us of that. Thank you so much for this story, how beautiful it is. And Father, we walk out knowing your heart goes with us. Through Christ we pray. Amen.